بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for this nation. We're still going on in our history from the beginning. In our last class, we talked about how how Prophet Musa alayhi salam won over those sorcerers or magicians, how they became Muslim, and that Pharaoh tortured them. Other believers showed up. Among them is the woman that used to comb the hair of Pharaoh's daughter. The woman was killed with her children in boiling water. And other believers showed up, like the wife of Pharaoh, Asiya radiallahu anha. She was also killed by her ruthless husband, Pharaoh. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted the Egyptians with flood, with locust, with lice, with frogs and blood. And we said that every time they had one of those, they would beg Musa alayhi salam to ask his Lord to relieve them of those things. And they believed, they promised that they would believe in Moses. But after they were relieved, then they would not keep their promise. Then something else came, and they kept on doing this until all of these were afflicted, were, you know, sent to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Musa alayhi salam that he should take Prophet Joseph's body, Prophet Yusuf's body, with him leaving Egypt. So Allah has given the Egyptians, the followers of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh himself time to believe in Moses and Aaron, but they did not believe. So Allah revealed to Moses to take his people, the Israelites, or the children of Israel, out of Egypt to the blessed land near Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Hence, Musa was to leave with his people. But among the things that he was ordered is that for Moses to take Prophet Yusuf's body, Prophet Joseph's body with them, fulfilling, of course, Prophet Joseph's will to be buried in Palestine. And the story went like this. It means the story of reburial of Joseph alayhi salam is as follows. The author said, when Prophets Moses and Aaron departed from Egypt with the Israelites, the children of Israel, they reached a certain location at which they were not certain where to go next. The scholars of the children of Israel told Moses, "We have gotten lost because we did not carry Prophet Joseph's body with us as he requested in his will." It was previously mentioned around the end of chapter 16 that before his death, Prophet Joseph made a will to be buried in Palestine, where his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather were all buried. You know that Prophet Yusuf Joseph was the son of Yaqub, Jacob, who was the son of Ishaq, Isaac, who was the son of Ibrahim, Abraham. So all of these were buried in Palestine, and Yusuf alayhi salam wished to be buried next to those parents or grandparents. However, Prophet Joseph was not buried in Palestine, hence his body was to be brought up and moved to Palestine. The people started to look for someone who knew where his body was, and they could not find but an old woman from the children of Israel. So when Prophet Musa asked her where the location of Prophet Joseph's grave was, she told him, "I will not tell you until you make me a promise. You promise me that I would be your companion in paradise." When Prophet Musa heard her request, he stopped. He had to wait until he received revelation about it. Prophet Musa could not just tell her yes without that being revealed to him, alayhi salam. So then Allah revealed to Prophet Musa to grant this woman her promise, the promise she requested. At that, Prophet Musa gave her this good news. She then pointed to a location covered with water. She told them to remove the water and dig in the ground under it. So they did as she told them, and they found the body of Joseph in a box, in a casket. They carried the casket with them. Allah gave them the knowledge of which way to travel to the blessed land. And all of this is narrated in a Sahih Hadith narrated by Imam Ibn Hibban. Now, what can we benefit from this Hadith, from this event? From this Hadith, we learn a rule that it is very beneficial for the people of Ahlul Sunnah, the people who follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, that it is not forbidden to ask prophets for something that is not customary to ask for, since they receive revelation from God who knows everything. So Prophet Moses did not tell this woman that she was blasphemous for making such a request, such as uncustomary request. On the contrary, he waited for the matter to be relieved to him, and then he answered her. One of Prophet Muhammad's companions helped the Prophet, in something. The Prophet, of course, with his excellent manners, rewarded those who helped him. So the Prophet addressed this companion, saying, "Ask me for something." The companion said, "I ask, O Prophet of God, to be your companion in paradise." The Prophet asked, "Do you have another request?" The companion said, "This is my only request to which my heart is attached." The Prophet told him, "Pray a great deal, عني على نفسك بكثرة السجود, and you will be my companion in paradise." The Prophet ﷺ did not reprimand that companion for his request, and certainly did not tell him that he was blasphemous for asking for such a thing. The Wahhabi sect, they lie by saying that it was forbidden to ask the prophets for something which is forbidden to ask from other people. This woman asked to be with Prophet Moses in paradise, which was something that only God would give. Unless God reveals to some of his creation, only God knows what was willed eternally. So Prophet Joseph was, as we said, buried under water so that few people would know of his burial site. The general rule is that, of course, one does not dig up and take the dead body of someone from one city to another, but the case of Prophet Joseph's body was an exception. Prophet Moses ordered all the Israelites to leave Egypt with him and Aaron, Harun. They were about 600,000 people. When the Pharaoh learned of this plan, he gathered a huge army and followed them. The Pharaoh's army was about 1.6 million soldiers. When the children of Israel arrived at the Red Sea, Prophet Moses struck the sea with his special staff, and the sea split into 12 pathways, which God made dry for the Israelites to walk on. There were 12 tribes of Israelites, and there was a pathway for each of these tribes. God made windows in the walls of water between the pathways, so the tribes would not feel lonely as they walked in a single file through the paths. The Pharaoh arrived at the edge of the sea. The cruel tyrant was terrified at the sight of the sea splitting into 12 paths. He was scared to go after Moses, Aaron, and of course the other Israelites along those routes. The Pharaoh was riding a male horse, and Gabriel, came riding a female horse, and he went into one of the pathways formed in the sea. The Pharaoh's horse smelled the scent of Gabriel's female horse. At that, the Pharaoh's horse rushed into the pathway after Angel Jibril's female horse, carrying the Pharaoh into one of the pathways. Following him as well, the Pharaoh's soldiers rushed into the pathways in the sea. Their leader went in, so they followed him. When the last of the Israelites had arrived on the shore at the other side of the sea, so they were safe, the Pharaoh and his soldiers were in the middle and had not reached any of those Israelites. With the last of the believers safely ashore, God made the sea close up again. The Pharaoh and all of his soldiers drowned. When the Pharaoh reached the point of dying, at which his repentance would not be accepted, he desperately made a declaration of his belief in Moses. This tyrant believed, but wanted to keep all of his thousands of followers from it. This declaration was not accepted from him, and he died as a blasphemer. Allah told us in Al-Quran, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الآن وقد عصيت قبل وكنت من المفسدين فاليوم ننجيك ببدنك لتكون لمن خلفك آية وإن كثيرا من الناس عن آياتنا لغافلون. Now some of the followers of Pharaoh who had remained on land received the news of their monarch's drowning death. They said out of their stubbornness that the Pharaoh had not died. They claimed he had gone away to China and would return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sea spit out the dead body of Pharaoh to the shore, and it was swollen like a bull. They recognized him by the distinctive grand clothing that the Pharaoh was wearing. At that, now, they became certain he had died. The author, may Allah have mercy on her, said, Moses and Aaron condemned the worship of the calf. When God saved the children of Israel from all those hardships that were inflicted by the Pharaoh, God ordered Moses to fast for 30 days. This was fasting like we, Prophet Muhammad's followers, do now, abstaining from food and drink and other things from dawn until sunset. Then God added 10 more days for the fasting to that fasting of Moses. Allah said in Al-Quran, في الأعراف, وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى 30 لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ 40 لَيْلَةً. So God revealed to Moses that after those 40 days, Allah would send to him the tablets of At-Tawrah, the Torah. All the books from God given to the prophets were given in their totality at one time during that prophet's life, except for the great Quran, which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad in parts over a period of 23 years. Musa alayhi salam obeyed Allah. Moses obeyed God, fasting those 40 days. Then he went to Mount Tur in Sinai or Sina. Moses left Aaron behind in charge of their followers. There was a man, however, among these followers named Musa al-Samiri. He had the same first name as Prophet Moses, Musa, but he was al-Samiri. So this man led many Israelites astray, as he himself was astray. And this al-Samiri, Musa al-Samiri, was young. His parents had lost him. He suffered from not having a family. Mercifully, Angel Gabriel brought this Moses, this Samiri, when he was a child, food so that he would not perish. However, this Musa, a Samiri, was raised as a blasphemer. A Samiri, this Musa, had made the figure of a young calf out of gold and mixed into the gold of this figure some of the dust from the hoofprint of Angel Jibril's horse. This figure that he made a mooing sound of a real calf. So some mooing sound came out of this statue, if you want, this figure of the young calf. And as a result, this Samiri told the followers of this detested blasphemy, "This is," means the calf, "this is your Lord and the Lord of Moses." Moses went to look for his Lord, but his Lord is here. Of course, this Musa Samiri was saying blasphemy. He's just saying that this calf is God that you should worship. He was addressing the Israelites. And he said Moses went to look for his Lord. So as if he claims that God, the Lord of Moses, is somewhere in a place. And then Moses went to look for him. But he did not know where he was, and the calf was God. Of course, Musa alayhi salam did not go to look for a place where God dwells, because God is not a body. He exists without being in a place. But that's the blasphemous statement of this Samiri. This was a test for the people from God. God created that mooing sound, which does not typically come from a statue. Allah knew eternally what these people would do. Obviously, the tests from God are not for God to find out what people will do. The tests from Him to the creation are a challenge for them. If they pass the test, they will be happy in this life and the hereafter. But if they fail the test, they will reflect back on that test on the Day of Judgment and blame themselves for not having used their minds, the minds that God endowed upon them. They will blame themselves for not having used this endowed mind, their endowed minds, to obey Allah. Aaron knew of Prophet Harun, or Aaron knew of the blasphemy that the Samiri committed. He admonished him and others and warned the people about the evil of the Samiri. He forbade them from the blasphemous worship of the golden calf. However, many of those Israelites accepted the words of al-Samiri and left the religion of Islam, becoming idol worshippers. And, praise to Allah, some of the masses remained Muslim, sticking with Prophet Harun and obeying him. In the meantime, Prophet Musa was in solitude, far from this catastrophe. In this condition, Moses asked God to enable him to see him. Means Musa asked Allah, Allah, I ask that I want to see you. Allah revealed to Moses that he would not see him, that Moses would not see Allah in this life. However, he told him, Allah told Moses, rather look to the mountain. If it remains intact, you will see me. Then Allah created in that mountain the ability to see Allah. When the mountain saw Allah, it crumbled, totally destroyed. When Moses witnessed that event, he fainted. And then God revived Moses from this faint, and Musa alayhi salam praised his Lord, the creator of that momentous event. This is mentioned in Al-Quran. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ قال لن تراني ولكن انظر إلى الجبل فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا وخر موسى صعقا فلما أفاق قال سبحانك تبت إليك وأنا أول المؤمنين. Moses asked to see God because it was not yet revealed to him, to Moses, that man does not see God with the eyes of this earthly body. The people who die as Muslim in this life will be granted this great honor and bliss of seeing their Lord when they live in paradise. This will be the seeing will be with the new eyes of the better bodies in paradise. They will see the one who is not in a direction, unlike in any way the experience of seeing a creation. After Prophet Moses' experience of seeing that mountain demolished, God made the Torah tablets come to Moses' hands. Prophet Musa then journeyed back towards his brother and their people. Between his hands was the Muslims' new book with the rules for the good of the nation. Means the Torah for the Israelites. Upon his return, Musa was angry to find that most of the people were immersed in the blasphemous worshipping of the calf. He let go of the tablets in his hands in a manner that was not disdainful of these sacred tablets. Although Harun, Aaron alayhi salam, did not blaspheme like those others, the people were looking to see how Moses, Musa alayhi salam, would act with his brother, the one in charge during his absence. With the crowd watching, Prophet Musa reached for brother Aaron's head and beard, showing his extreme anger concerning the situation, but not in any way disrespecting his brother Harun, who was a prophet. قال يا هارون ما منعك إذ رأيتهم ضلوا ألا تتبعا أفعصيت أمري. This is mentioned in Al-Quran. قال يا ابن أم لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا برأسي إني خشيت أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل ولم ترقب قولي. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam was not indicating the way he behaved with his brother, that he believed that his brother Prophet Harun had allowed for this false worship to occur. Instead, he wanted to attract the attention of the people, so they would keenly listen to the dialogue of the two brothers instead of doing their unjust worship. Prophet Harun explained to Prophet Musa that the series of events and his excuse for why he did not kill the blasphemers. Harun explained that he feared if he killed them, he would not have been patient enough to wait for Prophet Moses' guidance. Harun said this because even though he was a prophet, Musa alayhi salam was still the leader of the Israelites, and he did not want the people to act without the guidance from their leader alayhi salam. Then Prophet Musa went to this Samiri and humiliated him severely. He burned the golden calf and threw its ashes away. He told the blasphemers that by worshipping that golden calf, they apostatized from Islam and did an extreme injustice to themselves. Then Prophet Musa, of course, by revelation, he told them to repent to their Lord by becoming Muslim again. However, the revelation from God was that after becoming Muslim again, they were to be killed. they were to be killed by those Israelites who had remained Muslim and had never worshipped the golden calf. For those who had worshipped the calf, this was the way to repent. Even though they were to be killed, they would still, of course, go to paradise if they genuinely repented. Now, after 70,000 of them were killed, Prophet Musa and 70 of the best of the Israelites supplicated God. They asked God. Musa said, "That which occurred, O Allah, is from you. With your trial," means with God's trial, he's addressing Allah, "with your trial you misguide whomever you will, and you guide whom you will, whomever you will." Then the others addressed Allah, "We repent and return to you, God." And the verse in Al-Quran, "Inna hudina ilayk, inna hudina ilayk." This is Hada Yahudu. So the name Yahud given to the followers of Musa means repenters. This is the meaning of the word Hudina, Tubina. Then God revealed to Moses for the killing to stop. Hence, a group of those who had apostatized by worshipping the calf and then returned to Islam were saved from being killed. When the children of Israel saw that the Torah mentioned they were obligated to do, means when they knew the obligations upon them revealed in the Torah, most of them sat back lazily, not wanting to do their religious obligations. At that, Allah ordered Angel Jibril to pull out a whole mountain from Palestine. The size of the mountain was the same size as the area covered by those Israelites on earth. God ordered Jibril to suspend that mountain above their heads. Prophet Musa told them, "Either you accept God's orders that are in our book, the Torah, or God will smash you with this mountain." When they were in that situation, they accepted to follow the Torah, the book revealed to their prophet Moses. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم